It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll get the latest on the legal developments surrounding the John Doe probe against Governor Walker's past campaigns.
First, we're gearing up to head into the thick of fall movie season. After a summer of blockbusters, we're going to find out what's in store next, from the next installment of The Hunger Games to this weekend's The Equalizer.
Rob Thomas joins us now. He's an editor and writer at the Capital Times and a blogger at Madison Movie. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, get us excited here. What are you most looking forward to in this fall's crop of movies?
Well, in my circle, it's Gone Girl is the one, and I haven't even read it. So I was at a lunch with colleagues, and everybody else had read it and was very excited. And I still don't know how it ends or anything, but I think David Fincher is directing it, who did Social Network and Fight Club. And it looks like the one this fall that's like, you know, maybe an Oscar contender, but also very entertaining at the same time. Like Gravity was kind of like that about this time last year, and Argo a couple of years ago. So that's the one I'm really excited about. And plus, as a local bonus, it has Carrie Coon, who's a UW-Madison graduate and was with the American Players Theater. She has a big role in it as well.
So this could be her big role. I mean, she's in the, help me with the TV show.
The Leftovers.
The Leftovers.
The HBO series.
And she's gotten critical acclaim there, but this is a big big supporting role with Ben Affleck.
Right. She did an interview with the Cap Times with Lindsay Christian. She said right now she's at a great level of fame where she's not being recognized. But I think being in like the movie version or like the book that everybody's read will may change that.
All right. Well, we have a little clip of that. This is pulled from the trailer where Nick Dunn, the main character, is being addressed by a talk show host after some bad news breaks about his wife's disappearance.
Nick Dunn, you're probably the most hated man in America right now. Did you kill your wife, Nick?
Everyone told us and told us marriage is hard work. Not for me and Nick.
As you all know, my wife, Amy Elliott Dunn, disappeared 3 days ago. I had nothing to do with the disappearance of my wife. I have nothing to hide.
Does Amy got friends we can talk to?
No, not really.
You don't know if she has friends. You don't know what she does.
There's a clip from Gone Girl, the best-selling book made into a movie. And I haven't read that one either. It's one of those where I feel like I should probably read it before
right.
I go see it, but I've got a week to read it.
I think I'm not going to make it. I think I'm going to have to experience it in the theater and then go back and fill in the blanks.
And Carrie Coon, the actress we were just talking about, looks like she'll be joining us next week. Thursday, was it?
That's the plan, right. We're going to hopefully talk to her then and hear what it's like to be starring, or not starring, but having a really big role in an important movie like this.
Well, that's a book-to-movie conversion. Here's one. Of course, all of us back in, I think, the 80s watched The Equalizer with Edward Woodward and thought, that's got to be a movie. Well, I didn't really think that ever, actually, but it is. With Denzel Washington, and we can give him a listen. He's a equalizer. He, you know, goes after criminals and evens the score.
Had enough?
Because I can keep going. Brick by brick, dollar by dollar, body by body. Or you can call your boss and tell him to shut down his operation tonight.
When Denzel threatens you, you stay threatened, I gather. Are you looking forward to this one, Rob?
I don't know. I mean, Denzel Washington's the sort of actor who's like, well, he's good in anything. Like, even in a movie that's like, well, why is he in this? He's still doing a pretty good job in it. I kind of agree, like, you know, the 80s series, The Equalizer, was fine, but it's like, do we really need a movie 30 years later? Like, is the Simon and Simon movie coming next year or
Ooh.
Something like that? Actually, you know what?
That's
a pretty good idea.
I'm gonna go call my agent.
Yeah. So, I don't know. He seems to be entering that phase of his career, sort of the Liam Neeson phase, where like older male actors get to play, you know, butt-kicking, you know, senior citizens. Kevin Costner's in that phase now, and Harrison Ford's been there for quite a while. So, I don't know, it could be good, you know. I guess we'll have to see.
And that one's out this weekend.
That's correct. Yeah. So it opens tomorrow.
And that's one of those, you know, tried and true Hollywood tradition of rebooting things and sequels. Are there a lot of those when you look ahead to the fall months?
Well, you know, actually, I mean, the summer was just full of those. I mean, there was hardly anything that wasn't based on a comic book, even if it was one no one had read, like Guardians of the Galaxy, or a TV show like 21 Jump Street. There's not as much. The fall seems to be more either true stories or based on books like Gone Girl. Little more highbrow than the summer, I think.
Is it Oscar bait time, or does that come later?
I think this is when it starts, for sure. I think like something like Gone Girl is something where, you know, that's one that could be a definite Oscar contender. Or there's one coming in October 24th called St. Vincent with Bill Murray that I think could definitely be, you know, an Oscar nomination for him. He plays this kind of cranky old veteran who takes this boy under his wing, and he looks really good.
And we've got a clip of him in St. Vincent. Let's give a listen.
Why is he mowing your dirt patch?
I'm showing him how the world works. You work, you get paid, you drink.
Are you drinking alcohol?
I honestly don't remember.
That's Melissa McCarthy,
right.
And she's got her son being cared for by Bill Murray's character, and she finds him mowing just what should be grass, but is basically just dirt.
A dirt pile, basically a dirt lawn. Yeah,
she looks really good,
and she looks really good in it too. She's had these great over the top roles in like Bridesmaids and Heat, but this looks like a nice sort of more dramatic role for both her and for him, but also being, as tell from the clip, very funny.
Do you feel like it's hard to place Bill Murray well? I feel like he's a spectacular actor, and I always expect so much of him. But so often I feel like he's in roles that aren't quite right. They're almost right.
Well, it's interesting. He hasn't tried to be like full-on funny for a long, long time. And he picks all these kind of interesting, sort of funny, sort of dramatic. I mean, he was barely in the Grand Budapest Hotel in the spring. I like him in everything, except that when he played FDR. That didn't work too well. But I think his last really great role was probably Lost in Translation.
Right,
and that was about
too.
10 years ago. So it's about time for him to get a really good showcase, I think.
Actually, I liked him in a Zombie Land, but we can't spoil too much about his role. I probably shouldn't even say he was in it. Well, but forget that I said that, but it was good.
He's joking.
Hey, I'm getting back to a one with a Wisconsin tie. I don't know if this is Oscar category or not, but a new Jimi Hendrix biopic. What do you know about that one?
Yeah, this looks great. It's called Jimmy, All Is By My Side. It's written and directed by John Ridley, who's from the Milwaukee area, and stars Andre 3000 from Outkast, who looks uncanny as Jimi Hendrix. And it's premiering in Wisconsin at the Milwaukee Film Festival next week. And then I believe it should probably get to other theaters here later in October. It's just open in New York tomorrow. And it looks really great. And obviously John Ridley won an Oscar last year for 12 Years a Slave. So people are really excited to see this.
Now, here's a short clip of Andre 3000 as Jimi Hendrix telling a would-be British manager what he's trying to do with his music.
I want my music to go inside the soul of a person. You know, for me, it's colors. I want people to feel the music the same way I see it. You know, it's just colors. It's it. And the rest is just painted with a little science fiction here and there. I don't want to freak you out. It's early. I've got to get you over to London.
And the movie, I gather, is about Jimi Hendrix's trip to London, putting together a band there, and that's where he makes it big.
Yeah, it's like the year before the 1967 Monterey Pop Festival where he really broke huge, which I really like that rather than sort of like the Cradle to Grave biopic, just focusing on one really important year in his life when he was just finally breaking through.
That's interesting looking at this crop of movies here. There's a lot that I want to see already, and we haven't even talked about all of them. This summer, I think I saw maybe two movies.
Yeah.
I don't know if that says more about, you know, me or the movies or the summertime viewing habits of people. What do you think?
Well, you're an adult.
True.
A lot of the movies in the summer were aimed at kids. And, I think, and also, I mean, let's face it, the weather's getting worse, and movies going to seem a lot more attractive in Wisconsin, I think, than it does in July. But yeah, it's also, I think, movies that I think are aimed at appealing a little more to adults, get a little more meat on the bones than just like, you know, your typical superhero movie.
Well, we're talking right now with Rob Thomas about what's coming up at the movies this fall. Rob Thomas is an editor and writer at the Capital Times and a blogger at Madison Movie.
And we want to hear from you. What are you looking forward to at the movies this fall? Have you seen one of the new releases in the last couple of weeks? Is it a pick or a pan for you? And do you see fall as movie viewing season, either because of the weather or because of the content of the movies? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post at the Central Time Facebook page.
never wanted any of this. I never wanted to be in the games. I just wanted to save my sister and keep PETA alive.
Miss Everdeen, it's the things we love most that destroy us.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. A clip there from Mockingjay Part 1, the latest in the Hunger Games franchise. We're talking upcoming fall movies right now with Rob Thomas. He's an editor and writer at the Capital Times and a blogger at Madison Movie.
And you can join the conversation. Is there a movie you're looking forward to in the next month? Is there something you're going out to see this weekend? Have you seen what's in the theaters lately? Let us know what you like or maybe what you didn't like. Call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post over at the Central Time Facebook page.
And Rob, Jennifer Lawrence, back in her one of her signature roles. She's got a lot of them, but this is definitely one of them that she's known for. You've got Philip Seymour Hoffman again. It was sort of bittersweet to see him in there and know all the performances that we're not going to see of his down the road. What are you thinking about Hunger Games hitting?
I think the first two were really good. And again, this is another series where I haven't read the books, but I thought, you know, they're beloved by so many people that I think they've done a great job so far. So I have high hopes for the last one, which, of course, they're splitting into two movies. Purely for artistic reasons, I'm sure, not because they want to double the box office or anything.
They care nothing for like money. That.
Shades of the Hobbit.
Right. Yeah. Oh, God. I have high hopes. And I'm not sure how much Philip Seymour Hoffman got done on the movie, but I it'll be very bittersweet to see him in that last one.
Yeah, and staying with the YA book-to-movie theme, A Maze Runner is already out, actually. This one's already in theaters. A little listen to the trailer here.
Can you tell me your name?
I can't remember anything.
Who put us here? We don't know. What's out there?
The maze. Every morning when those doors open, the runners look for a way out. No one has ever survived a night in the maze.
So evidently there's a maze through which one runs. It's Maze Runner. So a long series of these YA, specifically dystopian series, is being turned into movies. Is there a sense of the reception to Maze Runner so far?
It was the number one movie last weekend. It opened last Friday. So it's obviously doing well. I think they already greenlighted the sequel because it's part of a trilogy, and I'm sure that last one will be made into two movies as well. But it's interesting because everything everybody tells us is that, you know, young people aren't going to movies anymore, but it seems like every other week you see, an adaptation of a young adult novel like Hunger Games or
Fault in Our Stars
or If I Stay. There's a whole bunch of them. So obviously there's an audience for, young people coming out, you know, loving these books and then coming out to see the movie.
Maybe it's a young person specific to the book. Would you have the movie without the book? And would people go to see it?
Well, yeah, that's part of a larger issue with Hollywood is they won't seem to do anything unless it's based on, you know, a book or an 80s TV show or a video game or, you know, something like that. So, I guess as long as it makes good movies and people go, you can't complain too much.
In the book world, there's a big trend of adults reading in the young adult category, and there have been arguments about whether they should be, that sort of thing. But obviously, the audience is there. So if you're a movie maker, are you looking at this as a property that has a built-in cross-generation appeal?
That's a good point. Certainly Hunger Games, I mean, I think as many or more, or Harry Potter for that matter, as many or more adults are reading them as teenagers and kids. And that's probably, you know, probably right now that every movie has a very specific demographic. That might be one that crosses demographics.
There's one here that I think is not based on a book. Maybe I'm wrong about this. The Theory of Everything. This is a Stephen Hawking biopic, which, you know, we talked about earlier. Sounds a little challenging to watch, also uplifting, a lot of emotional range there.
Right.
What do you know about that one?
Yeah, it's based on, I guess, A Brief History of Time would be the book, and it's a biopic about Stephen Hawking and, you know, how he grew up and, you know, and all that. Eddie Redmayne plays him and I guess is incredible in it and is playing Hawking and is probably a lock for an Oscar nomination. I think that is coming, I think I got on my list here for November 7th. It's going to open pretty wide. So that's one I think will definitely be an Oscar contender.
One I'm kind of excited about in the biopic category, also the Alan Turing biopic. It's The Imitation Game with Benedict Cumberbatch, right, of Sherlock Holmes fame.
Right. Turing was a mathematician, I think, and I think he was the one who broke the Nazi code in World War II, only to have the British government turn around and prosecute him for being gay afterwards. It's also with the Milwaukee Film Festival. It's playing next week. That was like the first sellout that they had. I think that's also going to be a big Oscar contender. And Cumberbatch, who seems to be in just about everything, it seems to be one of his best roles.
I was going to ask you about that because he's got a huge following for Sherlock, and now he's branching out and doing more and more feature films. Are we headed for Cumberbatch burnout, or do you think he's unburnoutable?
I don't know. He was like the dragon in the Hobbit movie, and he was the bad guy.
But you couldn't see him. He was just the voice.
That's true.
But he was Khan in the second Star Trek reboot.
Right. You know, it's always interesting with actors because it's like, you know, this guy's, I don't know how old, he's probably late 30s. You know, he's been toiling for like 15 years and, you know, probably doing some stage work in London and, you know, doing okay. And then all of a sudden you hit big and then like everybody starts offering you roles in everything. And do you say no or do you just kind of like strike while the fire's hot? Mm-hmm. So far, I mean, he's picking roles that are so different from each other that nobody's getting sick of him yet.
Well, here's another one on the list you sent us that I'm kind of excited about. Interstellar, science fiction movie by director Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, it's his follow-up to the Last Dark Knight movie, and he's called it kind of a mirror image of Inception. And stars Matthew McConaughey as an astronaut. And if I understand from the trailers, which have been actually quite mysterious, which is unusual for trailers who usually give everything away, life on Earth is dying, and he's on part of this mission to try and find another habitable world. And it looks amazing. It looks like the kind of movie that IMAX was made for. So that comes out November 7th, and one I'm really excited about as well.
Maybe after the show you can tell me what happened in Inception. I saw it by myself, and I couldn't figure out what exactly happened at the end. I couldn't unravel it. His movies are so labyrinthine.
Yeah, I think it was that one was not even meant to be unraveled necessarily. Like, I think it ended so you get two possible outcomes at least. So
it was all just a dream, or it wasn't.
Right. Exactly. Or a dream of a dream.
Oh, how close you are. Yeah. Yes. We have a caller who wanted to know about the movie Jury with Brad Pitt. Do you know anything about that?
Well, Fury, actually, I think it's called. And that looks really good. That's a World War II drama that looks like basically like Saving Private Ryan in a tank. It's like set in the last days of World War II. And it's this tank brigade that's sort of cleaning up just as the war is winding down, but it's still very dangerous. And it's supposed to be a very gritty, authentic, violent, R-rated kind of war movie. And the trailer looks great. It looks very harrowing to watch.
Well, that's on the opposite end of the spectrum. One on our list for the kids, Box Trolls.
Everybody loves this idea, don't they, Veronica? Yeah. Yeah, that opens tomorrow. I think that looks really good. It's made by this this company animation studio in Portland called Leica, who did Coraline and Paranorman. And so what's interesting is in the age of CGI, they do stop motion animation, kind of like the Wallace and Gromit's, only they usually take a darker spin on it. So I think that looks really cool.
I'll probably end up seeing it at the mercy of my
kids,
children.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I want to ask you, Rob, you know, there's been a lot of talk right now about the ascendancy of TV, that this is where the real acting and drama and the dramatic arches and the, you know, casts of thousands, this is where the action's at right now, and that films are sort of in a stagnant era. Do you buy that?
I don't know. I mean, creatively, I think, I think big budget Hollywood is still pretty afraid to do anything that doesn't have an established license behind it. I think a lot of the most creative writing is certainly going on in TV right now with Mad Men and Game of Thrones and The Leftovers and even shows like Hannibal on NBC. But I still think there's a place for movies. I still think there's an audience for it. What's interesting is now with streaming, like, people are watching movies and TV interchangeably on their tablets from Netflix and Hulu and stuff like that. So, TV's time is getting kind of eclipsed by that. So I think as long as it's something good, people will watch it on the big screen or on a tablet.
Is it worth it, though, to hit the big screen as a movie the same on a 3-inch screen or even a 30-inch screen at home?
I still swear by the big screen experience, even if it's like a movie that doesn't have, you know, big special effects like Interstellar. There's that community experience of seeing it with a room full of people, especially a comedy too or something like that. You just can't beat. Even if you have the iPhone 6, I think it's still not as big as your local multiplex.
Well, Rob, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks.
We've been talking to Rob Thomas, editor and writer at the Capital Times and a blogger at Madison Movie.